Well, good morning. Good morning. Welcome to those who are joining us online this morning as well. Happy New Year. Today's the first Sunday of Advent, which means today is the first day of the new church year. But Advent is not Christmas, not yet. The word Advent means arrival. It's a four-week season of time set aside for intentional preparation to receive the one whose arrival we are anticipating. And the liturgical color of Advent is blue. It's the color of the night sky just before the new day is about to dawn over the horizon. Advent is about waiting in joyful, hopeful anticipation of what our Savior comes to do for us, in us, and through us. And I have to tell you, as a kid, I sure understood that this was a season of anticipation. I loved every part of those 4 weeks of preparation. We'd pull out the Advent calendar, we'd start the countdown of days to Christmas, and the house would transform a little bit at a time into something entirely different than it was any other time of year, as ornaments were placed and cookies are baked and one by one wrapped presents would start to appear under the tree. And it was such sweet torture waiting to see what was in those boxes. The hidden mysteries yet to be revealed. And as much as the waiting for Christmas drove me crazy as a kid, I loved living in anticipation that something beautiful was on the way. That's what the season of Advent does. It reminds us that that's what living in faith is. It's living in joy now, even in the waiting times, even in the hard or the dark times, because we have a promise that something beautiful is on the way for us, for you, and for me in Jesus Christ, from the one whose arrival that we celebrate. Advent reminds us that we live in the waiting time right now, waiting for the day that Jesus returns as King to make this broken world new. Because of Jesus, there are hidden mysteries yet to be revealed for us, too, and that promise is as sure as the dawn. So it's fitting that this season starts with a four-week call for every heart to intentionally prepare room for the one who's arriving. And now, of course, we know that Jesus has already arrived. 2,000 years ago, he came to be our Savior, and for 2,000 years, he has been making himself known in the lives of people through the Holy Spirit's work. So why do we need this season set aside every year to prepare our hearts to receive him all over again? Well, because unfortunately, through the stresses and the distractions and the busyness of daily life, it doesn't take much to let all kinds of things crowd their way into the space in our hearts that's only meant for our Savior. And I think you know how this happens. Maybe you have a guest room at your house, but over time it's turned into the place where you just end up putting all the extra stuff you don't know what to do with. Things just keep piling up in there, and you don't even really think about it until a friend or a family member calls you up and says, they're coming to stay with you. Uh-oh. Now you have to turn that junk room back into a guest room, because knowing they're arriving soon, all of a sudden now it's urgent work to sort out, move out, and clear out all the unimportant stuff to make room to welcome the someone who is important to you, the one that you are so important to that they're coming to you. Well, that's what we do spiritually in Advent. So what's been cluttering up your heart space lately? Theologian Henry Nouwen said in his book on spiritual formation, everything and everyone around us wants to fill up every bit of space in our lives and make us not only occupied people, but preoccupied people as well. When we permit the world to pack our minds and hearts with countless things to look at, listen to, read about, worry about, how do we focus? When there are countless happenings to be excited or depressed about, how can we ever manage to keep a space for the one who says, do not set your heart on all these things. Set your hearts on God's kingdom first, and all these other things will be given to you as well. End quote. It's so easy in our world full of overwhelming amounts of information and demands for our hearts to fill up with unimportant things that crowd out what we need the most. until we find ourselves lost in the clutter. And we are often not even unaware of how that spiritual cluttering starts. But it might look like this. Life just gets so busy that when something happens, we don't take the time to bring that thing to the Lord. We just chuck those hurts or fears or grief into that space in our hearts to deal with later. I'll come back to that. And then one thing gets added, and then another, and before you know it, one day you find your heart space has become a junk room full of fears and anxieties and stresses and longings and hopes. And whenever you open that door wanting to meet with your Lord there, all you can see is a mountain of hurts and failures that you don't know how to move. At which point, you immediately trip and fall into a valley of shame. Or maybe you might have just found yourselves wandering away, distracted and overwhelmed by things that don't really give you life, and now you're feeling lost in the wilderness, and you're not sure how to find your way home again. As discouraging as those scenarios might sound, in reality, if that's where you are, feeling lost in a cluttered, dark wilderness, take heart, beloved, because it's in just that kind of wilderness where this story of redeeming love begins. Because only there can you begin to hear that there is a voice of one calling to you in your wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord, because he's on the way to you. Because he has heard your cry and nothing is going to stand in his way. Instead, every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. Why? Because you somehow figured out how to move those mountains out of his way? No. Because he is the mountain mover. He is the valley raiser. And no mountain, no valley is going to keep him from you. Jesus is the good news, the Savior who comes for you. Through his sacrificial love laid down on the cross, Jesus paid the price for every sin. He cleared the way for freedom and life for you eternally, for you, his beloved one. And it's because that's who you are to him that he gives us this call to prepare the way for him in our hearts. Because he's not just looking to occupy your guest room. He wants to take up residence in your life and give you an eternal home in his. So what might that look like for us? How do we make room for Jesus? Well, let's take a look at a few biblical examples. In Luke 19, we hear the story of a guy named Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus was hated by his own people because he worked as a tax collector for the Romans. And no one was going to make room for him on the street so he could see Jesus. He knew that. But he didn't want to miss the chance to see the one that he believed might be the Messiah with his own eyes. So this dignified man chose the undignified course of climbing up a sycamore tree, a tree particularly prickly to climb, just to be able to catch a glimpse of Jesus when he walked by. At a safe and respectable distance, of course, which would have been enough for him. He would have considered it a profound blessing just to see Jesus. But when Jesus looked up at the man in that tree, he saw Zacchaeus. And what Jesus saw in Zacchaeus immediately moved him to close the distance between them. Jesus led his bewildered disciples off the path, right to the foot of that tree, looked up at Zacchaeus, and invited himself over. "I'm coming to your house, Zacchaeus." Would Zacchaeus make room for him? I think he practically fell out of that tree in his eagerness. Zacchaeus' life was forever changed by the love of his Savior, seeing him, loving him, forgiving him, calling him, despite the life that he had lived in the wilderness of his imperfections and his wrong choices, because what Jesus heard and saw and responded to were the true longings of Zacchaeus' heart. The choices Zacchaeus had made him rich. He had every earthly thing he could want, money, power, position, but none of these were what his heart actually longed for. They were clutter. And despite all that he had collected for himself, there was so much empty room in his heart. He was longing for what was eternal, for a love that was bigger than his selfishness, a love that could be even bigger than the mountain of his sin, that could fill up the valley of his shame. And that longing was what made him climb that tree, the empty space in his heart that he never dreamed could actually be filled. But Jesus saw in Zacchaeus a heart that had prepared him room. And Jesus immediately moved to accept the invitation to occupy that space, the invitation that Zacchaeus would never even have dared to speak, because that is who Jesus is. He's the good news for those who think there can be no good news for them. He's the Savior who comes seeking every heart who will prepare him room, and he moves in with his grace and his love to make us new, even an old sinner like Zacchaeus. Even you and me. Jesus was the one who closed the distance. Jesus took down the mountain between them and raised up the valley. And what did Zacchaeus do? Zacchaeus cleaned out the clutter of all the voices trying to convince him he was disqualified to receive such amazing grace. And instead, he believed. He let the gift of his Savior's love move into that space in his heart. He made room for Jesus, and his life was changed. And then there's Mary from our gospel reading today. And I'm sure Mary had plans for her life. She was getting married to Joseph. They were going to live in Nazareth. He was a carpenter. They'd have a life together that would be quiet and small town and most likely just what she expected. And those plans did not include a terrifying visit by an angel and a virgin birth, which no one, especially her husband-to-be, were likely to understand. But Mary loved the Lord, and he'd seen that love. The angel called her highly favored, which was bewildering to her. I mean, how close could she even be to the Lord? As a woman, she'd never even be allowed to enter the holiest of holies. The glory of the Lord she could only ever admire from a safe distance, limited by her humble station. But here and now, the Lord was telling her, I've seen your heart, Mary, and I'm not staying at a safe distance. I want to hold a central place in your story and you and mine. Will you make room for me? And Mary's reaction to that was, how can this be? She knew full well her own inadequacies, the mountains and valleys of her own fears and failures, but the angel didn't tell her to level the mountains and raise the valleys to make this possible. He told her this would be by the power of the Most High God, for no word from God will ever fail. Nothing will stand in the way, Mary, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The Lord himself would take down all the obstacles. He closed the distance between them. And what did Mary do to prepare the way for him? She believed. She trusted. She received, saying, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Both in Zacchaeus' life and Mary's life, there were things filling those spaces in their hearts that they had to clear out to make room for what the Lord was about to do in their lives. There were plans of their own they had to surrender and let go of in order to grab hold of a love, a hope, a life bigger than what they could have imagined for themselves. They made room for what the Lord would do and were forever changed. So what about you, beloved? Because this same Lord is here for you today. And he sees the things that you are really longing for. He sees the things that you're grieving over. The things that are cluttering your heart, the mountains and the valleys that have become obstacles in your faith. He sees you in your wilderness, and he doesn't want to keep a safe distance from you. He wants to move into your life and rearrange all the furniture to show you what your life could be with his love at the center. And he wants to change not just your relationship with him, but your relationship with yourself. And your relationship with those around you, just like he did for Zacchaeus, like he did for Mary, through his love poured out in you. Will you make room for him? In this Advent season, what needs to get decluttered in your life to make space for the Lord? What needs to be set aside to welcome his presence with you, to fill your heart with the love that he longs to give you? Jesus is the mountain mover, but what he asks of you in this season of celebrating his arrival is that you believe he comes to be God with us, God with you. As Henry Nouwen says, when we dare to trust that we are never alone, but that God is always with us, always cares for us, always speaks to us, we can gradually detach ourselves from the voices that make us feel guilty or anxious and embrace the present moment. If we could, for a few minutes each day, just be fully where we are, we would indeed discover that we are not alone and that the one who is with us in our hearts wants only to give us the love we need and the power to love others. End quote. His arrival is the gift we most need. But Advent is meant to be the time when we slow down and make room for the Lord to receive his presence with us in new ways. But I have to admit, instead, this season tends to go the other way. It tends to speed up and fill up really fast. So when we look at our busy calendars, it might kind of feel daunting to figure out how in the world we're going to find time to make room for Jesus. But making room for the Lord doesn't have to mean throwing out all of your festive activities in favor of finding more quiet time. We find space for him in our hearts by believing the space where we are is the space where he wants to be at work in us. So in this Advent, make room for Jesus in your heart by intentionally inviting him into the space where you are. And look for what he wants to do with you in it. So when you decorate your house, turn it into a time of prayer. Honor the Lord Jesus as the guest you are preparing to welcome. As you prepare the gifts that you'll exchange with those you love, remember those celebrations of your love for each other are rooted in the love of Christ for you all. So as you pick out the gifts for those you love, as you wrap those gifts, take that time to pray for each of those people, that they'll know Jesus' love for them, that they will grow in knowing Jesus' love then this season also, as your love is poured out for them through the giving of that gift. And in this season also, let your acts of giving and service to others be an overflow of gratitude to the one who came to you in his love. Let Jesus fill the space between you and others. Let his love shine through you. Make room in your heart for what his love will do in you and through you for others this season. Jesus is the one who made the way to us, to you and to me, beloved. He made the way to us when there was no way for us to come to him, because that's what a Savior does. His arrival is the gift we need. His love in us and his love through us is the gift that our world needs. So, beloved, this Advent season, will you make room for him to do that work in you? As we do, may we have the courage of Mary to also pray her trusting prayer of faith. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for finding us in our wilderness, in our busyness, in our cluttered lives. Lord, we just pray in this season that you would show us how to slow down, how to take the moment where we are, and to invite you in, Lord, to make space for what it is that you want to be doing in our lives, in our hearts, in our interactions, in our relationships, in all of those people around us. Lord, we just pray that your love would be at work in us, so that your love would be at work through us. Lord, we pray that in this season of Advent, as we prepare to receive more of you, that you would give us the spiritual eyes to see your love at work in those around us, and especially in our own lives, Lord, as we are pouring out your love to those around us. Lord, we pray that in this season, that each and every day as we approach Christmas, that we would know more and more of the power of these gifts that you give us as our Savior and our King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.